is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish Home Machine, which is perfect for these crazy times when gyms and schools are closed. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is former NBA player CJ Watson, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering new subscribers 10% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code SAVE10 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Hello and welcome to Hoopheads. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel, and we are jumping on tonight to talk some NBA. We got a lot of injuries going on around the league. We've got the trade deadline coming up, and we've got a ton of winning and losing streaks to talk about in tonight's episode. But I think, Jason, you have a quiz planned for me to start off, right?
We're gonna start with our new segment, starters in the league. Now, all these players, once again, have started at least, I set the bar. What did I say? I set the bar for, was it three games last week?
Or you had five. You had five last week.
Well, one of them's four, so I'm gonna. I cheated a little bit on this one, Mike.
I'm good. Okay. So last week I was 2 for 3, or maybe 2.5 for 3, because I at least recognized the name. So we're going to try and see if I can go 3 for 3 tonight.
We're going to see if I can pronounce one of these names correctly. So that's going to be the
real
test.
That's not looking good for me then.
All right. The first one, we'll start with one I know I'm going to pronounce correctly. Terrence Mann.
All right. I got to think about it. I know Terrence Mann. I gotta look at the standings here and see if I can figure out where.
No hinky business over there. No hinky business.
No, I'm not. I swear. I'm only looking at the teams. So I've got to go through. Terrence Mann. All right. I'm gonna say Terrence Mann. I'm going to go with he is a member of the Wizards.
You're on the wrong coast, dude.
Okay. So then let's see. I'm on the wrong coast. The Warriors.
You are in the correct state. The wrong team.
The Clippers.
That is the correct answer. The Los Angeles Clippers.
All right. So I didn't do well on that one.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Svyatoslav Mikhailiuk.
And this guy has started games.
He started games. He's the four games.
He's the four gamer. All right. I would ask you to say it again, but I don't think it's going to be of much value.
Svyatoslav Mikhailiuk.
Okay.
I know the last name's correct. The first name I'm struggling with.
The Detroit Pistons.
That is the correct answer. Okay. The last
one. Do you want to know how I knew that?
Because
he just got traded for Hamidou Diallo.
Oh, look at that. Like literally just now?
I mean, within the last couple days, that when Diallo got traded, which was 2 or 3 days ago, that's who he was traded for.
Oh, he must be a prized possession. All right, the last one, Mike. Edmund Sumner.
Edmund Sumner. Okay, I have nothing. I have absolutely zero on this. I have nothing on Edmund Sumner. So Sumner.
He's somebody. Averaging 5 points a game.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see. Edwin Sumner.
Edmund. Right. Edmund.
What is it? Edwin? Edmund?
Edmund Sumner.
Okay, I will I'll have give
you
a to say...
If I give you a college, would that help you?
That will No, that will not help me at
it's
all.
It's Xavier.
That will not help. That does nothing for me at this point. My college basketball knowledge is extremely limited right
now. His nickname is
Skinny. Skinny. All right. Skinny. So I'm going to say he has to have started a game for the... Whew, man. I'm going to say that he has started a game for... The Oklahoma City Thunder.
That would be incorrect. I'll just tell you the answer. It's the Indiana Pacers.
All right.
He's played 25 games. He's averaging 5 points a game. He's shooting 50% from the field and 76.
Was he in the dunk contest?
He was not in the dunk contest.
Oh, that's Cassius Stanley. Sorry. Okay. Sorry.
So there is our game, you know. We'll see how long this lasts because it's going to kind of get really hard after a while to pick random people that have played 5 starts at least. We'll continue.
All right, so I'm 500. I'm 500. I'm hanging in there.
You're doing better than I would have done if you'd given me these players. So,
all right, well, good. I'm at least doing something. I'm beating somebody out there.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So on that note, we're going to talk about the injuries. Now, I've been thinking a lot about injuries myself here, Mike, now that I'm fully vaccinated. Hopefully, getting back to playing basketball, I'm really concerned that I'm going to get injured the first time I play since it's been 14 months. But
you better take it slow. You might want to play some half-court 3-on-3 before you stretch it out and run 5-on-5.
Well, yeah, but it's hard to get people to play 3-on-3, Mike. It's really hard. These people don't want to do that. They want to just play basketball.
You need to find some other old guys that are just getting back into it, man.
Well, Mike, how about you?
I'm retired.
Okay. I just want you to go stand in the corner one time. Just play in our league with us and just go stand in the corner. We'll just hit you for
three. All right, there you go. All right, I could probably still do that.
All right. So Joel Embiid, and this is the big one in my opinion for us to start with, the injury to Joel Embiid. They're saying 2 to 3 weeks. We know that what that could turn into. We've got the Anthony Davis situation right now. He's still being reevaluated in 2 weeks. I mean, I think this has to put – I mean, Joel Embiid, if he's out any more than 2 weeks, I think this puts the nail in the coffin that he cannot win the MVP. True, false, what do you think, Mike?
I think 2 weeks, he's still okay, depending on what Philly does during this time when he's not there. I guess it could bolster his case if they completely fall apart, which I kind of don't expect them to, but... I think if you get beyond 2 weeks, I think it becomes really, really difficult with the games that he's already missed, which I think he's missed 5 or 6 games prior to this injury. And now if he's out 2 weeks, he's going to miss probably another 7, 8 games. So you're talking he's going to miss 15 games out of a 72-game schedule. And that's if he comes back in 2 weeks. And I would guess that based on what you said and based on what we know that – his chances of coming back in 2 weeks, I'd say, are probably pretty low.
As soon as they said 2 to 3 weeks, you knew that meant that he's probably going to be out the longer stint of it, in my opinion.
You would have to guess.
Just because it is Joel Embiid, let's be honest.
Right. Like, and you don't want to mess with him. I mean, you don't want to mess with anybody, but certainly a guy with Embiid's injury history
And you're firmly – I mean, you're firmly in the top three. You want to obviously stay in the top – like, you'd like to be the number one seed. I understand that. But when it comes down to it, you can naturally win a lot of games in the East if you're depending on your schedule and what your schedule looks like. But like their next few games, like they play Milwaukee's a tough game, but then they go Sacramento, they'll beat them. The Knicks, they should beat them. Golden State, that's a questionable game because Golden State's been playing better. But then you get the gauntlet. So March 25th, they go Lakers, Clippers, Denver in those three games. That's a rough stretch to not have Joel Embiid, Mike. Right? Would you agree with that?
I mean, you're going to have Simmons is going to have to step up offensively. They're going to have to get some contributions from some other guys. And I don't know, does it make the case better if they sort of go in the tank? Does that make a better case for Embiid? Or if they continue to play well and Simmons steps up so that they can stay at the top of the conference, so when he does come back, he continues to lead them to the number one or two seed in the East? I don't know what it is, but let's put it this way. I think you get beyond 2 weeks. There's too many other good candidates that I just don't think that – I just don't think he hangs in the race if he misses any more than 2 weeks.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's already a condensed schedule. If he misses 2 weeks, he's going to miss 7 or 8 games. And that's just not in this season. You know, now here's the question that I really have to ask then is, okay, so Joel Embiid, he misses, let's just say he misses 3 weeks or 4 weeks and we say he's out. Who's number one now, Mike? I mean, is it back
who's
to LeBron?
Who's number one?
It can't. I don't. You know, as much as I want to give it to LeBron, his stats have been horrendous. I shouldn't say that. His stats haven't been MVP worthy over the last 3 weeks since Anthony Davis went out.
All right, so I'm going to give you his 10-day. Let me give you his last 10 games, and then I'm going to give you a comparison player for his last 10 games. So LeBron, in his last 10 games, he is averaging 33 minutes per game, shooting 52% from the field, 29% from three, 61% from the line, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 25 points per game.
Yeah, that's not an MVP. Sorry, LeBron. I like you a lot.
Not in this season. It's not. I mean, but for the season, he's at 25.5, basically 8-8, PER of 24. I think the thing that bolsters LeBron's case is the on-off numbers with him on the floor versus him off the floor. I think that is the big thing that when you look at what he does, whether Davis is there or not, when the Lakers play without LeBron, they just crater. And when he's on the floor, they're very, very good, obviously. So I don't know. I don't know if LeBron becomes the front runner, but okay, let's talk through the other candidates. Let me give you a comparison player that I mentioned here. Let me get to this comparison player stats just so I can throw this at you for the last 10 games, because this is something that I was looking at today when trying to prepare for what this exact discussion of what this was going to look like. So comparison player for LeBron in the last 10 games, this player is shooting 58% from the field, 36% from three, 79% from the line, averaging 12.5 rebounds, 7 assists, 1.6 blocks, and 32 points a game in his last 10.
You're talking Giannis right now. It's got to be.
It's Giannis. And I think we've already talked about the voter backlash and the desire not to vote him in his third consecutive MVP with what he's done in the playoffs the last 2 years, or better yet, not done in the playoffs the last 2 years. And there's three other guys in the history of the NBA that have won 3 straight MVP awards. Those guys are Larry Bird, Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell. And during their streaks of their first two, they each won a title in one of those first 2 years of being named MVP, whereas obviously Giannis has not. But if you just look at the statistical case, and especially you look at how he's coming on since Jrue Holiday's come back, the Bucks have been really, really solid and won a lot of games. And we can talk winning streaks and all that stuff as we get into it. But the Bucks are 9-1 in their last 10, and Giannis is continuing to get better. Look, if he can approach anywhere near, I mean, if he gets above 70% from the line, and like I said, he's shooting 79% over the last 10 games. If he gets to 70% from the line, that becomes a whole different equation toward the end of games, because then he can just go back to rampaging to the basket. And yeah, teams can cut him off and do things. But I do think the Bucks' high-end talent, we've talked about this before, I think their starting five is better. He's also averaging almost 35 minutes a game in the last 10, which is above his season average. And it's like 3 minutes above his career average. So maybe Bud is starting to see the light along with some of the defensive adjustments and different schemes and things that the Bucks are trying to do. I still don't think, unless Milwaukee gets to the top of the Eastern Conference and Giannis continues to put up the stat line that I just read to you for the rest of the season, maybe. I don't know. I kind of think Jokic is the front runner.
Yeah, I think it's Jokic. I think it's Giannis. I'm telling you, Mike, I'm not sleeping on my pick yet. I think Dame has a shot. I'm not saying I'd bet a lot of money on him, but that team has literally been in shambles, and his stats are out of this world right now. And you know, McCollum just came back. His first game's tonight. They're currently losing to the Pelicans. You know,
must be the good Pelicans.
Well, yeah, this quarter at least. We'll see what happens in the fourth.
Right.
But the bottom line is this: I think you have to say that it's probably Jokic's to lose, and I think it's primarily because of all the things he does on both ends of the floor. I like if Embiid. This is great. This is all based on Embiid being out longer than 2 weeks. I want to be clear on that.
Because I think the thing that hurts Jokic in the comparison with Embiid, LeBron, and Giannis is on the defensive end of the floor. And not that he's a bad defensive player, but he certainly is not the same level of impactful defender those other three guys are. So Embiid, I don't believe he's won a defensive player of the year, but he's certainly been first team All-NBA, All-Defense. Giannis, we know, won the defensive player of the year last year. LeBron, I don't think he's won a defensive player of the year, but he's certainly been first team all defense. We know what he can do on defense when he dials in. Jokic doesn't have that high of a ceiling, but I mean, offensively, he's incredible. As a hub of your offense and as a guy who, we've talked about it before, is just clutch in the last 5 minutes and has been a crazy playoff performer. I mean, this season, he's shooting 56% from the field. He's shooting 41% from three. He's shooting 88% from the line. He's averaging 8.5 assists. He's getting 1.6 steals and 27 points a game. And he's first in the league in player efficiency rating. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good offensive season. And I think the only thing you could knock him for is, what does he do on the defensive end of the floor compared to those other guys? And we said it before, in our last podcast, when we talked about second half power rankings, and we started thinking about, well, where are these teams going to finish? And as we talked about in the streaks, there's a lot of teams that are streaking right now that have put together a good stretch. And Denver, if I'm not mistaken, let me pull it back up. I believe that they've won 8 of their last 10. Denver's 7-3 in their last 10. So they're coming on. They're up to 5th in the West. They're 2 games behind the Clippers. They're 3 games behind the Lakers. And they're 3.5 games behind the Phoenix Suns, who are only 2.5 behind Utah for potentially the number one seed. Could you see Phoenix being the number one seed in the Western Conference?
I mean, I don't think so. But crazier things have happened, Mike, right? I mean,
let's say they get there.
The Atlanta Hawks were a number one seed. Wasn't it 2 years right in a row? I mean, yep. I think it's quite
that's fool's gold though, right? There's no chance Phoenix is coming out of the West.
No, zero. 0.0. I don't think there's any way. Yeah, I just don't see it. I don't see how they it's kind of the Utah situation. I think they could play well in the regular season, but you throw them in the playoffs. I mean, how are they stopping?
Are they better equipped though than the Jazz? When you think about their team as a playoff team, are they better equipped than Utah to be able to contend with the Lakers or the Clippers or the Nuggets?
Theoretically,
it feels like they are, right? Because Booker obviously can score, and then you have Chris Paul and all the things that he can do. You've got the pieces around those guys. Ayton's a former number one pick. You've got Cam Johnson. You got Mikal Bridges out there. I don't know. I mean, I think I don't. I mean, I can't see. To me,
a number one seed Phoenix Suns would seem like it would be a fraudulent number one seed based on the other teams we have in the conference. But if you look at the ingredients that might be necessary in order to win, maybe we're underrating them. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't think they're coming out of the West, but they do have the pieces that if I look at those individual pieces, you might be able to argue that they have a better roster than the Jazz to compete in the playoffs, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I like the theoretical. I think they're the theoretical Phoenix Suns, Mike. I'm ready to say that.
I agree with you.
I mean, I could see them playing really well and matching up against teams. I could see them losing in the first round to the 8th seed or whoever gets that position. Right? Like
I mean, right now it's Dallas. So yeah, could Dallas beat Phoenix? Absolutely. Hey, coaches, parents, and group leaders. I want to introduce you to our newest sponsor, SnapRaise. SnapRaise is the nation's largest digital donation platform built to help teams, youth groups, and clubs raise money quickly and efficiently without selling products. SnapRaise builds your group a customizable campaign website, and students use their mobile devices to connect and engage with their biggest fans. My son's high school team used SnapRaise this season, and our team raised all the money they needed to fund their season, and then some. Getting SnapRaise started is quick and free. Just visit SnapRaise.com, and you'll get connected to a local SnapRaise expert in no time. Just look at the whole West. Let's take a look at the West, because the West really doesn't have any teams that are streaking, except for the Houston Rockets, who are streaking very, very quickly to the bottom of the NBA with 17 losses in a row.
They are terrible.
Yeah, they're. I mean,
two of those 17 losses are against your terrible Cleveland Cavaliers. Which, by the way, Mike, I am, after last week's episode and watching them play the last three games, I'm ready to write the Cavaliers off. They're done.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Okay. So
I called that a week earlier.
I don't want to belabor the Cavs point, but they're terrible. Kevin Love, I respect you. We got to trade him. We got to get him off the team. And that's all I'm going to say. Okay, go ahead. So the West.
Top of the West. So let's just talk top of the West for a second. And let's imagine that Anthony Davis does not come back to the Los Angeles Lakers. Let's say this injury lingers. It's worse than the Lakers are letting on. He, for some reason, doesn't get back to the Lakers this season.
Even in the playoffs?
Even in the playoffs. He's out for the year. Anthony Davis is now out for the year. Or let's say he's severely compromised. How about that? Is there what team, if that's the case, and I picked the Lakers to make it to the finals, who'd you pick to make it to the finals?
I picked the Lakers.
Last week. Okay, so we both have the Lakers if AD is healthy. So let's take a healthy AD out of the equation. Which of these other teams do you believe in? Or is it honestly where you could see seven or eight teams making the finals.
This goes back to my conversation last week, Mike. I think, really, like if I'm looking right now at – if I'm looking at the standings, I could see any of those top six teams, if AD is not healthy, any of those top six teams coming into the playoff or getting into the finals. I could see – you could talk me into Dallas getting to the finals.
I agree.
I'm not –
Can I talk you into the Warriors?
That's my next point. I think there's a world where you could talk me into the Warriors in the finals. I think there's a world.
I agree. I think there's like a 2% world.
Like
I would not be able. Like, I would not be willing to completely rule it out.
Well, did you hear the Klay Thompson quote the other day? He joined the broadcast, okay, and they were talking to him about like how his progress is coming along and like yada yada yada, and he came across saying, "Well, I look forward to talking to you when I can talk to you more," which made me think, if they get to the playoffs, is there any chance that he's going to try to play? Like, I wouldn't think so, right?
Off both of those injuries, I mean, coming off the ACL first and then the torn Achilles, I can't imagine that you risk putting him out there this year
especially when you think about potentially them getting their hands on the Timberwolves number one pick this year. Who knows? Maybe that thing shoots up to number one and they draft Cade Cunningham or they draft Evan Mobley or one of these other guys that potentially is going to make a difference. Is that guy going to make a difference on a championship team? I mean, I don't know. But regardless, I think if you're Golden State, it's not a super long-term play because of the ages of Klay and Draymond and Steph, but to bring him back out there when probably the best they're going to be is maybe a 7 seed, I would guess, is probably the highest they're going to get. It seems like you wouldn't do that. But yet, again, I still feel like maybe there is a puncher's chance that Golden State could get there. New Orleans, is there a puncher's chance for New Orleans if they can right the ship? Is there?
Yeah. I mean, you could talk me into it. Now, the problem that you have is, I really think Stan should have just stayed in the broadcast booth.
Because you're no longer sold on Stan?
No. I was selfishly saying he shouldn't be going to the – he shouldn't
right,
be
you
going.
Wanted him just, you just wanted him to broadcast.
Yeah. So, listen, you could talk me into them, but I'm not buying – so, really, like, you could talk me into any of those teams except for the Spurs. I just don't think there's any way – that the Spurs.
Yeah, I don't see the Spurs either. Because the Spurs don't have a signature star, it's hard to imagine them in a seven-game series.
Well, your signature star
them.
Is Greg Popovich. That's a problem.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, if you go down the list of teams, and you could probably even throw Memphis into this, although Memphis is not making the NBA Finals, but if you go down every other team in the West, and you could say, in a playoff series, could they have the best player in the series. Now, they might not have the best player reputationally or over the course of their career, but in one singular seven-game series, could Donovan Mitchell be the best player in a seven-game series against any of these other teams?
Sure.
Yes. Could Devin Booker or Chris Paul be the best player
yes.
in a series? Yes.
LeBron
could Kawhi, could Kawhi be the best player in a
oh,
series?
Oh, you're not even
going to
get Paul George the pandemic peak?
No, I don't think he's going to be the best player in a series. That ship has sailed for me. The Nuggets, I mean, yeah, you could count Murray, but Jokic clearly can be the best player in a series. Can Dame be the best player
yes.
in a series? Yes. Can Luka be the best player in a series? Yes. Can Steph be the best player in a series? Yes. Could Zion be the best player in a series? Yes.
Could Ja
be the best
yes.
player in a series? I think yes. I mean, would it be likely? No, but could he go toe-to-toe with some of these other guys?
Could Buddy Hield?
No, I think once you get to Sacramento – I don't know that De'Aaron Fox is on quite that level. Maybe. But I think the rest of that roster is a mess, and we can talk a little bit about that in a second.
Well, hold on a second. I got to say, did you see the highlights from the Anthony Edwards game the other day? He's looking really good. It's just too bad he's in a dysfunctional place right now.
Minnesota, it's weird because, yeah, Anthony Edwards is starting to come on for sure, and the guy's obviously an unbelievable talent and an unbelievable athlete. I think where you question who he is and what he is comes down to his feel for the game and his basketball IQ. But yet, he's a kid who's 19 years old. He hasn't played a lot of high-level basketball in his life. And a guy with that much natural ability, it just seems like if you could get him into the right environment, which I'm not sure he's in the right environment with Minnesota, but is the potential there for him to turn into a star player? I mean, I think clearly when you have that kind of the kind of physical tools that he has and the skill set that he has, it's just going to be a matter of him kind of figuring it out and asking somebody to figure out at 19. Look, it doesn't happen for everybody at the same rate of development. So, yeah, it looks like they may have made a mistake on passing on LaMelo, but I wouldn't sleep on Anthony Edwards 5 years from now being as good, if not better, than LaMelo. I mean, I think LaMelo has a better feel for the game. I think Anthony Edwards probably has more raw athleticism and, you know, just he has the ability. He's going to be a better scorer, I think, than LaMelo. It's just a matter of, do you like LaMelo's playmaking and some of the other things that he can do? But all right. Going back to the top of the West. So if we're going back to the Lakers not having AD, pick one of their teams. Since we both picked the Lakers with AD as our Western Conference representative, if you had to pick one other team, who are you taking to get to the NBA Finals? If if the Lakers and AD are compromised.
Oh, I really want to pick Portland, Mike, but I'm gonna take Denver.
That's who I'm taking too.
I want Portland.
It would be fun to see Dame get to the NBA Finals.
You know what I'm gonna say. I want Melo in a finals before he retires.
All right, that'd be fair. Again, that'd be fun. It would be fun to see Portland, and I agree. It'd be fun to see Lillard in there. It'd be fun to see Carmelo. It'd be fun to see CJ McCollum. Portland would be a fun team to see make the finals.
By the way, Zion just posted up Melo, Mike, and Melo forced a turnover. It was kind of impressive.
Good job by Melo.
Melo, known for his defense.
All right. Good job by Melo.
Yep.
Somebody's got to get in front of Zion. So yeah, I think I'd pick Denver. I think Jokic and Murray and Michael Porter Jr. starting to come on a little bit. And I still am not 100% sold on him, but the guy's a tantalizing talent. If they can kind of get him figured out and help him to figure out what his role is going to be, and they can use him in different ways, and he can come along a little bit on defense, there's no doubt that he's an incredible third wheel if they can get him going. And I think Denver's the team, and Denver might make it anyway.
Yeah.
But I think if AD is compromised, I think Denver's the team that I'd have to say is the favorite.
I agree.
So there really aren't any other streaks other than, like we said, Houston. And then I guess we have one other 3-game losing streak for the Memphis Grizzlies, which I'm going to leave with a no comment.
Yeah. So I guess we'll turn it over. Really quickly, let's just talk about the other injuries and the other injury in the West. Marvin Bagley, if he was going to get traded, he's no longer getting traded because he fractured a bone in his hand. And I didn't see a timetable for his return, but I would assume he's going to be out for close to, if not the rest of the season, right? With a fracture.
I don't know. I'd say like a 4 to 6 week injury to me.
And that seems like that's probably when their season's going to be over. So
yeah, it'll be close. I mean, their season's already effectively, I think, over. I've tried not to pronounce them dead, but I don't know. There's just, for whatever reason, there's a ton of dysfunction there. I don't know that dissuades anybody. Anybody who's thinking about trading for Marvin Bagley probably is a team that's in a similar, I don't think any contenders are trading for Marvin Bagley thinking that he's going to push them over the top. I think what you would do is you'd have some team that says, hey, we're going to take a flyer on this guy who was the number 2 pick in the draft and try to get him for pennies on the dollar out of Sacramento. So I think the fact that he has a hand injury, to me, that doesn't necessarily preclude some team from trading for him, because anybody who's trading for him is not looking at it as him being the last piece that's going to push them over the top to win a title. It's going to be a team that's building for the future that sees him potentially as a guy who's been miscast, misused, in a bad situation, and you bring him into a new situation and maybe he's able to write his career and flourish. So I don't think it diminishes really his trade value, the fact that he's injured, because whatever team's getting him is not getting him for the remainder of this season. They're really looking at that as a long-term play of bringing this guy into a new facility, a new environment, and maybe turning his career around. But it's been a disaster to this point, both from an injury and a production standpoint, especially when you think about the fact that Luka was sitting there and the Kings drafted Bagley. It's just, it's still amazing.
Yeah. I think when we look at it, the Marvin Bagley conundrum, the Kings conundrum of drafting terrible players. And I think Bagley in the right situation would be a solid like 6-man, 7th man.
He's a functional NBA player if you can find the right role
for
him.
I don't think he's ever an all-star.
I don't either.
I don't think he's ever like a guy that you're going to be like, "Oh man, I really want to get his jersey."
He's going to be your 4th or 5th best player.
Unless you're his dad. His jersey.
At least the Kings drafted Tyrese Halliburton. So you have De'Aaron Fox, you have Halliburton, and then you're just crossing your fingers and hoping that something goes right sometime in the next couple of years to help build around those two guys. Those are your building blocks. Bagley can't be in the plans at this point.
Yeah, you'd have to imagine hopefully is out for them sometime soon. All right, and then the other lingering injury is the Durant injury, and it seemingly, you know, he's having issues with that leg that he injured, and then he's having issues with his other leg, and he just can't get back on the floor. But I think if I'm the Brooklyn Nets, Mike, I'm like, dude, take as much time as you need. I want you in the playoffs. Kind of like the Anthony Davis thing, because the Nets are cruising right now. There's no sense rushing him back. And I have to say, Mike, I'm more and more – I picked the Nets last week to win it all. It's really smelling like the Brooklyn Nets, Mike. It's really, really smelling. And they're playing so well without Durant. When he gets back out there, it's going to be pretty, pretty ridiculous. And I just don't know how you stop him, quite frankly. So that's what I'm going to say on that. Durant, they keep him out as long as they need, and he'll be healthy for the playoffs. Or if they can get him healthy for the playoffs, that's what matters.
They're going to need him in the playoffs, and they're going to continue, I think, to win in the regular season. It seems like Harden, by all accounts, has completely bought into what it is that they need him to do, which is be more of a, I don't want to say traditional point guard because he's far from a traditional point guard, but more of a guy that's looking to distribute to his teammates. And he's fit into that role beautifully. Kyrie slides into that number two spot and is a scorer and takes over the game when necessary. And we know what a phenomenal talent Kyrie Irving is. So offensively, I don't think there's any question about the Brooklyn Nets. There continues to be questions about against the best teams. Can they get stops when they need them? That question is not going to be answered until at least at the earliest, probably the second round of the playoffs. And then I guess we'll have to wait and see. I'll continue to be dubious of James Harden, which is why I think in the playoffs, Durant becomes critically important. If you now bump James Harden down to your third option, and you have two other guys that can step up in big moments and carry you on runs in the last 3 or 4 minutes of the game, then Harden's lack of big game chops really doesn't matter. Really doesn't impact you because you have two other guys who can step up into that void, whereas Houston never had anybody that could step up into that void. So Brooklyn's definitely dangerous. They are definitely dangerous. If you look at the other teams that probably have a realistic shot of getting back to the NBA Finals and the Bucks and the Sixers, I guess maybe now that the Heat's back on fire, you could maybe throw them in there since they made it to the finals last year. Although I still think they're a tier below those other three teams.
Yep.
It's easiest to envision how Brooklyn gets to the NBA Finals. It's easier to see how Brooklyn beats the Sixers or beats the Bucks, much more so than it is to see how the 76ers beat the Nets and Bucks or how the Bucks beat the Nets and Sixers. Not that it can't be done, not that there isn't a pathway for that to happen, but it's a lot easier to see how Brooklyn beats the Sixers and the Bucks. So I have a hard time arguing against your Brooklyn Nets pick. There's still something there that I think that situation can be combustible when and if they get their backs put up against the wall. And I think they'll be great front runners. And if they can win and get control of series early and get out to leads and be able to play offense and not have to really lock down, I think there's a great chance they do make the finals. But I still think when push comes to shove and they get in a tight situation or they get down 2-1 or they're down 3-2, I don't know if they won't fold. I don't know what they have yet. So I'm not 100% in on Brooklyn, but I certainly get the argument that you're making. And by the same token, Philadelphia is flawed, and we know Milwaukee is flawed from what we've seen in the playoffs the last 2 years. I think Milwaukee and probably Philly to some degree, although I don't think it's quite as pressing. Both of those teams, I think, are just in show me mode. Like, you could talk about it all you want. You can have the greatest regular season record you want, but you got to get it done in the playoffs and you got to get to the NBA Finals and give yourselves a chance to win it. And until Milwaukee and Philadelphia do that, you're going to have questions about Giannis. You're going to have questions about Embiid and Simmons. And that's just the way it is until they prove it out on the floor. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. And I'm saying it right now, Mike, I don't trust Milwaukee as far as I can throw them. So, and you got to, like you said, you got to prove it to me. You got to show me that you're going to do it in the playoffs and do it when it counts. And I don't.
Who do you not do you not do you not trust? Who do you trust less, the players or the coach?
I don't trust the coach. I don't trust the coach at all. And quite frankly, Mike, I'm going to say it, and you're not going to like what I'm about to say. I don't trust Giannis in the fourth quarter. And that's not.
Look, it's totally fair. It's a totally fair. You
can't lay it all on at Budenholzer's feet, because if Giannis plays 7 or 8 minutes in that fourth quarter, he needs to play those 7 or 8 minutes in the fourth quarter, like balls to the wall, and he doesn't do that, and that's what I have to see him do it in a meaningful.
He's just not at this point. At this point, right now, it comes down to he's not a go-to scorer. He's not a flip on the ball, get out of the way, he's going to get us a bucket. He's just not. He's not that. He's not that in the playoffs.
The analogy I could think of is, think of it this way, Mike. In 2007, LeBron was getting criticized. You know, year five in the NBA, getting killed, and then he had that Detroit game in the playoffs. Okay, you know the game I'm talking about. I don't need to spend a lot of time talking about it.
25 straight. Yep.
Yeah, 25 straight. Great game. He still, the next year, was getting criticized for his fourth quarter play. Okay? He was still getting hammered.
Listen, well, Giannis is not immune to that. He hasn't gotten the same level of criticism that LeBron was getting during that era. But you are starting to see for sure, if you listen to national media or you read articles about Milwaukee, there's a lot of hand-wringing about what Giannis has done in the playoffs and what he's capable of doing in those biggest clutch moments where his team needs him to be able to generate offense and get easy scores for his team. And right now he just doesn't – he hasn't been able to do that in the playoffs. Now, as I said earlier when I read off his stat line, if he's going to shoot – I mean, I know I said he's shooting 78% in his last 10. I don't think he's going to be a 78% free throw shooter, but he doesn't have to be. He just has to be 70%, because if he's 70%, teams now aren't going to want to foul him, and it frees him up to be confident to go to the basket. And if he gets fouled and he can step up to the line and he can make them, that makes a huge difference than a guy who's shooting a shaky, you know, 61, 62% like he's shot in the playoffs the last couple of years. So that, to me, is a big part of what needs to happen. And then I guess I have less confidence in the coach. I feel like the players, especially the Holiday edition, I feel like Milwaukee's good enough to match up with both Brooklyn and the Sixers and come out on top. I just don't trust Bud. I do like what I'm seeing in terms of them mixing up some of their defensive coverages on the screen roll and just trying to do some different things and not just always having Brook Lopez fade back into the paint and protect inside the arc. But I mean, come on. Like, Giannis has got to play 42 minutes, 43 minutes, 44 minutes in playoff games, and Bud has shown no inclination to do that at all, even in high leverage minutes in the last two playoffs. And so I just don't trust him. And I agree with your point that Giannis has struggled to be able to finish playoff games. And I know I kill James Harden repeatedly over and over and over again for not coming through in big moments. And at some point, that lens has to start getting pointed at Giannis. If he has one more failure in the playoffs where he doesn't at least come up big, maybe his team loses, but he's got to have a big-time series in that loss, or else those questions are going to get really, really loud.
Yep, I agree. I completely agree.
Hey, hoop heads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com, spelled A-R-Y-S-E, and use the code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off the future of performance. That's A-R-Y-S-E.com with promo code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off.
Hey, Mike, real quickly. So this game, the New Orleans-Portland game, it's down to a 10-point game. Portland's going on a run. Dame Lillard's stat line so far tonight, 10 of 15 from the field. So he's only made 10 shots. You want to guess how many points he has?
38.
Oh, yeah. You must be watching it.
No, is that what he has?
It's 38 points. Dead nuts.
All right. No, I'm not. I see the score. I have New Orleans 117, Portland 106, but I'm not looking at a box score. So
yeah, 10 of 15 from the field, and he has 38 points. That's pretty good stat line right there. That's pretty good usage rate right there, right?
Yeah, I'll take
efficiency.
That.
All right. Anyways, so as far as the other Eastern Conference teams, is there any other Eastern Conference team that you want to talk about? I mean, Philly. Obviously, we've already talked about them. Boston. I don't know.
Boston's not on a streak. Let's forget about Boston.
Yeah, Boston. The Brooklyn we've already kind of talked about.
Yeah, we don't need to talk Brooklyn. We don't need to talk Milwaukee. I guess Miami is a team we haven't talked about. 9-1. They've won 5 in a row. They're up to 4th in the East. Can they climb higher than that? Do you see them overtaking any of those teams? I guess maybe you could see them overtaking Philly if Embiid's out for a month. Maybe. Maybe Philly drops down to number 4. I don't see them, unless there's injuries with Brooklyn or Milwaukee, I don't see them creeping ahead of either of those teams. The interesting part is that Jimmy Butler's been really good since he's been back. I think he's averaging like 25 a game since he came back from his injury and playing really good defense. And obviously he's their best player, so he makes a huge difference. I suspect Miami's going to stay. I don't think they're going to drop from where they are now. I don't expect them to finish behind Charlotte or Boston or Atlanta or the Knicks or any of these other teams that are following them. But I also don't expect them to creep above any of those three teams ahead of them. I think Milwaukee, Brooklyn, and Philadelphia all hold those top three seeds.
Yep, I agree. I don't think there's any way that those three lose them. I mean, I think the only way Philly loses them is if Simmons gets injured and they are without Simmons and Embiid. That falls apart. But
yeah.
I think, Mike, that Brooklyn's going to end up with the number one seed. If that's the case, I really hope that after the play-in games and everything that we get a Brooklyn-New York Knicks first-round matchup. That would be pretty awesome. I would like to see that. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think Brooklyn and Milwaukee are both more likely to finish with the number one seed than Philly, especially with this Embiid injury. I think either Brooklyn or Milwaukee finishes at the top. If not them, then maybe Charlotte, 4 in a row, creeping up to the number 5 seed. Can you believe that? The Charlotte Hornets, the number 5 seed right now, ahead of the Boston Celtics.
Listen, when we played them in the first week of the season and beat them, I was like, man, Charlotte's a dumpster fire. By the way, it's a 4-point game now, Mike.
I see it, 117, 113. I got it.
Dame is going nuts. So this is exciting. Anyways, Charlotte's impressed me. Obviously, I think, you know, last week, I think when I said Charlotte was a lock and you laughed at me, although I did say the Knicks were a lock too, and they're free falling a little bit. I think I feel very comfortable in saying Charlotte's going to be in the playoffs one way or another. I don't know if you count the play-in games as playoffs. I think they're going to, because they're going to get revenue sharing, at least in that play-in game. They're going to get some kind of, so I think, I don't know if they're going to count as playoff games. That'll be interesting to see how they handle that.
I think they will. I think they'll count them as playoff games. I still think, though, Charlotte's been playing well. We briefly touched on LaMelo a little earlier and how well he's been playing. Gordon Hayward has been phenomenal for them since he's come back to, since he signed his contract there, he's been really, really good. But it still is right now. They're 3.5 games away from the 11th seed. So it's not like any of these teams goes on a little losing streak. Like last week we had Toronto. I think they were in the 6th seed maybe when we did our podcast last Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And tonight they're sitting in the 11th seed because they've lost 5 in a row.
Yeah, so that's true.
Atlanta was out of the play-in game last week. Now they've won 6 in a row, and now they're all the way up to number 7. So you can go on a little streak, either positively or negatively, and in this bunched-up mishmash of the middle of the Eastern Conference, you're going to jump.
It's Nate. You're going to jump McMillan, spots. Man. It's Nate McMillan.
I think a lot of it's a schedule, too. I mean, I looked at some of the wins that Atlanta had.
The Cleveland Cavaliers?
I mean, they just had some. So they've beaten they've beaten the Heat. All right, that's a legitimate win. The Magic, awful. The Raptors, kind of semi-awful. The Kings awful. The Cavs awful. The Rockets awful. So that's a six-game winning streak. That's very much a schedule six-game winning streak. I don't think you can necessarily say, oh, Atlanta's right in the ship. It's just they've been playing some pretty terrible teams. So
that's fair. Yeah, you make a fair point. I give you credit. You make a fair point.
Thank
on
you.
That.
Thank you.
Listen, nice I don't give you. Credit to everyone, but I'm going to give credit to you, Mike.
Well, good. I'm glad. I need some credit every once in a while. Keeps me going, man. Keeps me going.
Keeps you going. I don't know. Is there any other team in the East that you want to talk about? I mean, I feel like we've kind of touched on everyone. I don't have.
There's nothing else. There's nothing else super interesting that's going on. Toronto losing five in a row, I guess, to drop out of the playoff picture is semi-interesting. Mostly from a standpoint of how does that impact the potential of a Kyle Lowry trade? Does the fact that if Toronto keeps losing and they start to fall further in the standings and maybe it just becomes, hey, why are we keeping Lowry around? Do we really want to pay him? Could we ship him out? How does he feel about being shipped out? Where does he want to go? What could we get back for him? I think if Toronto continues to lose, you're going to hear that Kyle Lowry trade rumors pick up. I know Philly would want him, since especially since he's a Philly guy and grew up there. I could see him making a big difference for Philly. I don't know where else would be a really good fit for him. The Clippers, I know I've heard talked about, but the Clippers basically don't have any salary cap room to be able to fit him in. So I think that's, you know, pretty much a wash. I'd like to see him on Milwaukee, but I don't know what that looks like in terms of salary cap. It's probably not even feasible considering the salaries that you'd have to ship out in order to bring him in. Plus, once you bring in Lowry, you're probably having to get rid of DiVincenzo, and I don't know. Do you want to do that? I know they gave him up for the failed Bogdanovich trade this summer, but there's a lot of potential things that could happen at the trade deadline that look enticing, but when you start looking at the reality of the situation, maybe those trades aren't feasible.
Yep. You know who might look good on?
Who?
The Pelicans.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Kyle Lowry on the Pelicans.
I mean, once again, Brandon Ingram just jacking up shots at the end of the game here.
Although, yeah.
I mean, I think a veteran presence would be huge and for them. I really do.
Or let's just simplify it.
What's the simplify?
Let's just make Zion the point guard and be done with it. I mean, put the ball in his hands, let him do things, let him create, and
oh my God. Sorry. The move Dame Lillard just did, Mike. I'm telling you right now, Dame Lillard, I'm throwing his hat in the ring here.
Look, I'm not saying Dame can't win it, because he certainly can. I mean, he absolutely can.
Yeah, he plays at such a high level all the time. Like, you, I can count the number of games that I've watched Dame Lillard that he's like completely played like a dud, like on one hand. Like, I can't think of any really off the top of my head. Can you?
I saw him play live at the Q against Kyrie, and I think Kyrie put up 50-something, and Dame kind of got chewed up. But
oh, well, you have a better memory than me then. I don't remember that game. So
yeah, anyway.
Anyway, sorry, I keep getting distracted by this game
right
now.
You're all excited. It's 120 to 118 now.
It's a really
anyway,
good game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's not really anything else in the East that is jumping out at me. Like I said, Atlanta winning six in a row to kind of creep their way back into the play-in territory. The Knicks have lost two in a row, so after you declared them a lock, maybe you jinxed them. I still don't think they're a lock. I could see New York easily finishing out of the play-in mix. All these teams, throw them in a hat. Toronto, Indiana, Chicago, New York, Atlanta, the Hornets. I think Boston is probably a little better than that group if they're healthy, but right now they're not healthy, so throw them into that mix. Who knows what's going to happen? You could probably make any one of those combinations of teams in spots 7, 8, 9, 10, and you know, have at it. And the play-in tournament is going to be fun.
Yep,
it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing that and just what the feel of it is. So
speaking of tournaments, Mike.
Okay.
March Madness. We don't have a lot of basketball, like college basketball opinions, thoughts. we don't watch a lot of college basketball, but we have to. We can't go this episode on, like, basically it's St. Patrick's Day now. It's 12:30. The eve of March Madness starting, Mike. I know you said you watched one college basketball game all season. It was the other day. Do you have any predictions? Do you have any thoughts? I'll tell you, here's my main thought. I want Ohio State to be a contender, but I just can't trust them at the end of the game. And that's all I can say. I have three brackets I filled out. I have Ohio State winning one, just because I had to pick one to have Ohio State winning.
Okay.
I have Michigan winning one.
Okay.
And I have Gonzaga winning one.
All right.
So those
are fair.
Those are my
I think Gonzaga, from my understanding, has been the best team from basically beginning to end, correct?
Yes, yeah.
I mean, they've kind of been the best, the best team. So, I mean, I don't know. Traditionally, even when I had some college basketball knowledge, I've always been a North Carolina fan, so I would always pick North Carolina. This year, I believe they're an 8 or a 9 seed. So it's 6?
Maybe it is 8 or 9. I don't have a bracket in front of me.
I've just pulled it up.
In the upper right region. They're in the upper right region.
Got it. So they are blind, so I can't really see. They're either an 8 or 9 because it's real blurry what I'm looking at.
Okay.
But anyway, so they're playing against Wisconsin. So I would highly doubt that Carolina is going to make it all the way to the Final Four, let alone win the whole thing. So since I've watched one college game the whole season in its entirety, and I believe that where's
it was a Illinois? Good game. It was a good game, right?
All right. So Illinois and Ohio State could potentially meet in the it was a very good game. Could meet in the
By the way, the one that I have Ohio State winning it all. I just picked Big Ten teams like the whole way through.
All right, there you go.
I think in my final four is Illinois, Ohio State, Michigan, and Iowa.
In the Luke upper Garza, line. Garza,
yeah.
So is that your guy?
I just went with all Big Ten teams. So
all right, there you go. So Luke, do you know who Luke Garza is?
I have no clue who Luke Garza is.
Okay, Luke Garza is he's a big man for Iowa. He averages like 25 points a game and like 10 rebounds.
Yeah.
He might, I don't know if he's the Big Ten player of the year or whatever, but I just remember at some point during the season I read an article about him, and I did catch a small piece of the Iowa-Illinois game, and I had no preconceived notion about what Luke Garza was or who he was. And so I tuned into that game and we're watching it, and my son said, "That guy's really slow. Who is that? Who is that guy?" And then lo and behold, that was Luke Garza, their best player by far, who's going to be, I'm sure, a first team All-American.
And but Cal's calling him slow.
He's a very plodding, he's not very fast up and down the floor, but maybe he's going to be in the mold of Nikola Jokic, because he does have a really nice touch. He really does have a nice touch and does some nice things. So I don't think you're going to get a four team Big Ten Final Four, but what the heck? I'm going to go ahead and say my Final Four. Let's go ahead and go with the two teams that I watch. Let's go Ohio State in the South. Let's go Illinois in the Midwest. Shout out to my former college coach, Jay Smith at Michigan. I don't know if I can pick Michigan. Can I pick three Big Ten teams? Ah, what the heck? Let's go three Big Ten teams and Gonzaga. And so then my national championship game, let's go Ohio State, Gonzaga. And let's go with the Power Five Conference Ohio State Buckeyes over the major, mid-major Gonzaga. Ohio State cutting down the nets in 2021. You read it here. You heard it here first.
You know who's not cutting down the nets, Mike?
Who?
Brandon Ingram, who just missed two free throws to ice the game.
That's not good.
No. So we'll see what happens here. The Portland Trailblazers have the ball with 7 seconds left and a timeout. So
are they up or down?
They are down three.
Down three. All right, I got it.
You gotta put it on now. You gotta flip it on.
I'm gonna have to flip it on.
TNT.
I'll have to flip. I'll be on it.
I don't have anything else. I'm excited for March Madness. I will be tuning into March Madness. I will be tuning into some NBA. I don't know how much longer I'll be tuning into the Cavs, but I'll watch them here and there, but I'm not going to make it a regular viewing appointment because they just are infuriating me. But I'm watching the
you know, the main games, and then every once in a while, maybe I have a black market league pass code, or maybe I have a friend's league pass code that I'm hopping on every once in a while, just looking at and looking at that stuff. So I'm excited to keep watching the NBA, Mike.
Agreed. Definitely, I'll be watching some tournament games. Looking forward to that, and hopefully my college basketball knowledge will expand exponentially.
I'm a little disappointed you didn't pick your dad's former university to make the NBA the Final Four.
What's my dad's former university?
Cleveland State. He taught. He
taught. Yeah, no, I can't. I let's put it this way. I haven't filled out my bracket yet, but when I do, Cleveland State will definitely be winning one game. So will OU. Whatever MAC team is in, they always have to get picked to win a game. And since Cleveland State's in there, not nearly the excitement. You were too young. When were you born? What year were you born?
86.
Okay, so yeah, so you were just a twinkle in your mom's eye back when Cleveland State went on their historic run. But it was nothing. The excitement for this year's Cleveland State season is nothing like the excitement that was in the city.
Do you think that's because people couldn't go to the games?
Partly. I mean, it's a small part of it. I don't think it's a big part of it. I think even in a normal year, I mean, there's been other years when Gary Waters was the coach down at Cleveland State that they made the tournament and did some good things, and there was just never the level of excitement there was the year when Kevin Mackey had a bunch of misfit guys, and he had the mouse, and he had Eric Mudd and Clinton Ramsey and Clinton Smith and Kenny Robertson and just that whole group, and they were pressing and running.
I don't know a single name on that list.
Man, you got to educate yourself there, pal. Got to go back in Cleveland basketball history. Anyway, it's going to be fun to watch the tournament. Always good. I don't know nearly as much as I used to on the college basketball front, but still,
hey,
I'll be tuning in
hey,
and
Mike,
checking my bracket.
What? Mike, I know you're sad about this because I started to cry a tear. Duke isn't in the March Madness, Mike. I started to shed some tears over that, Duke not being in.
I'm not sad to see Duke not in. I'm not a Duke fan, never been a Duke fan, so I'm not sad that Duke is not in.
I was being facetious there, I'm sure.
I know you were. I know you were. I get it. I completely understand. So, all right, to wrap things up, we want to thank you for tuning in. If you missed our roundtable episode this month, which went out on Monday, some of our coaches shared the worst coaching advice that they've ever got. So that was kind of an interesting episode to listen to, what some of our coaches were told at various points in their careers and how they tried to overcome that bad advice that they were given. And then coming up this week on Friday, we will have an interview with former NBA assistant coach with the Clippers and Celtics, JP Clark. So look for that on Friday. And then we're just going to keep continuing to crank out our interview episodes. Please check out the other shows on the Hoopheads Pod Network. You can find us not only on all your favorite podcast apps, but also on Nothing But Net on Dash Radio. So check out all the things that we have going with the network. It is a very exciting time. We're going to be adding a couple new shows hopefully soon. We have Courtside Culture, which debuted this week. And your hometown coach, Jason.
I know.
Coach Delisio.
Yeah.
Coach Delisio did an interview. That episode will just went out today, I believe. So good interview if you get a chance. Chris is jumping on to talk culture with Dave Grudzinski, the host of Courtside Culture. So a lot of good things going on the network. Thanks for hanging with us tonight and talking some NBA. And we will be back next week with our NBA episode. In the meantime, catch all our interviews and check out some of the other shows. And we will see you on Friday. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast presented by Head Start Basketball.